I am so glad to finally be here. This process of becoming your candidate for senior minister has been a long road. The ministerial search process began long before I even expressed my interest here at the fellowship, with your search committee holding meetings, doing surveys, bringing in people to offer training, assembling the best packet of materials that I saw. It also involved discernment on my part about where we wanted to live as a family, what kinds of ministry I felt called to, my skills and gifts and hopes for the future. I know you've all been waiting, and then you found out who I am. I saw the announcements, and you've been excited for this week to finally arrive. Trust me, I've been excited too to finally get to meet you all, to share meals and conversations with you, to learn your hopes and dreams for the future, to share my experiences and hopes with you, and to get to know more about the Fox Valley in general. My husband and son are coming later this week, and I know they're eager too. My son is ridiculously cute, and I think you should vote for me to be your senior minister, if for no other reason than to have that adorable face around here. Kidding. But really, this is an exciting time for me, an exciting time for you. Yay! Excitement all around! And the truth is, my new friends, that this week really isn't about me at all. And in fact, it's not really about you either. This is the sermon where I'm supposed to tell you all about myself and my ministry and my vision for our shared ministry together, to talk all about how we're going to work together to do amazing things. And I know that you have already done incredible work here amongst yourselves and out in the wider community. And I believe that we will absolutely continue to do amazing things together. But I want to start off this whole week with one of my truths that I believe deeply and wholeheartedly about why communities like this one exist, why faith communities, Unitarian Universalist congregations, why this fellowship exists. And the truth is, it doesn't exist for us. Now, I hope you're happy here. I hope you're getting your needs met, but that's not ultimately the purpose of this place. The purpose of this community is to transform lives so that we might transform the world. This month, you have been talking about transformation through the story year theme. Tell me a story about the time you were born again. This is what the purpose of the fellowship is. Not to serve you as you are necessarily, but to serve who you might become. To serve who we might become. To serve the Fox Valley to work toward its becoming a more peaceful, fair, and free community. This brings me to the story of Brother Juniper. I love that story, first of all, because it's a children's story, and I believe children's stories are often more robust and powerful than works written for adults. I also love it because it's lighthearted. He was naked. It's funny. But it's also really deep. It's easy to see Brother Juniper's actions as charity, as serving those less fortunate. And it is that, I guess. And certainly generous giving is an important spiritual practice, and it's one that I won't shy away from discussing with you should I become your senior minister. But this story is about more than giving. It's about transformation. When Brother Juniper's fellow brothers returned from preaching in the countryside, they found Juniper standing naked in an empty hole. "You ruined the church," they yelled at him. And indeed, to the untrained eye, they seem right. He has literally dismantled the place they love and call their spiritual home. When we think about transformation, we often think about getting bigger, better, stronger, somehow improving. We don't think about destruction or loss. The traditional image that comes to mind when we think of the word transformation is the butterfly. transforming from a lowly caterpillar into a gorgeous winged creature. What could be more inspiring? But did you know that inside the cocoon, the caterpillar is not just changing shape and sprouting wings? That transformation involves a process in which the caterpillar literally dissolves and then is reassembled into a butterfly. If you were to open the cocoon at just the right moment, a sort of caterpillar soup would ooze out. Ew. And I guess from the perspective of the caterpillar, that would be exactly the wrong moment to open the cocoon. But in the case of the butterfly, or in Brother Juniper's case, the transformation is not possible without deep loss. I don't want to gloss over or diminish the truth and the pain of these losses. In order to get to this day, this first Sunday of candidating week, this exciting moment in the history of the fellowship, and certainly in my own ministry, you have had to experience the loss of your first settled minister and your only senior minister, Reverend Roger Birchhausen. I know Roger as a colleague, and I respect him deeply. I know he was loved here, and his leaving was a real loss. The interim period that you experienced last year with Reverends Wayne Arneson and Kathleen Rollins and the back and forth schedule that they managed here was hard for everyone. And this year you've adjusted and you've flourished while having Reverend Kathleen here, and soon she will have to go too. It's sad. I'm sad to be leaving the congregation that I have served for the last 6 years, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Annapolis, Maryland, where I love the people there and I love the work we've done together. It's good to honor loss. But that reminds me again of what I said at the beginning. This isn't about Roger or Kathleen or Leah or me. And it's not even about you. It's about the purpose that we strive together to serve, to be a home for liberal religious seekers in the Fox Valley, to welcome everyone, to grow in mind and spirit, and to lead in social justice. That's the purpose that you explicitly state on your website, to welcome, grow, and lead. Nowhere in your statement does it say to make everyone happy and comfortable, or to stay the same. And for that, I am very grateful. It was the fellowship's history of growth, change, vibrant approaches to new challenges, willingness to tackle hard issues that attracted me to you in the first place. It's a groundedness in your purpose, in our purpose, that will keep us looking forward in a way that honors the losses while allowing a deep and powerful transformation. So back to Brother Juniper. He wasn't trying to grow the church. He was simply doing what his faith called him to do, to selflessly serve those who needed support. That was his purpose. In living out his purpose, he literally gave away the church, and his brothers weren't too happy about it. This is what transformation can feel like sometimes. But a few days later, when Brother Juniper called, ding, ding, because they had no church bell, the people who came from far and wide were the living proof of the work he had done. He had built the church, not out of bricks and mortar and glass, but out of human hearts and minds. And for that, Father Francis gave thanks for the fine church that Brother Juniper had built. Before we end, I want to shift our attention a little bit. I want to broaden our attention beyond this fellowship, beyond my candidacy and our process of loss and transformation here, to the wider community of our faith and to the wider world. This fellowship is part of the wider Unitarian Universalist Association, our national organization. And there is a crisis going on in the Unitarian Universalist Association, one that has been brewing in some form or fashion from the beginning of our existence. You may have heard about this crisis. I know Reverend Kathleen and Reverend Leah have communicated about it with you in different forms over the last month or so. The short story is that a high-level staff position was being filled, and the two final qualified candidates included a white man and a Latina woman. Now, I don't presume to speak about the specifics of the hiring, but ultimately, the white man was hired. And there were additional factors that made that extra hurtful. People of color in our movement were upset by the actions of our association, again, perpetuating the norms of white culture in our faith. The woman was told that she wouldn't be the best fit for the team. But when the team is made up of all white people and almost all white men, well, yeah, the best fit is going to be another person who is like the others, and then we're trapped forever only ever hiring white men. The president of our association, Peter Morales, resigned his position over the controversy, the first time a sitting president of the UUA has ever resigned. And several other high-ranking staff have also resigned to allow new leadership to support our faith in moving forward. One particular group within Unitarian Universalism, known as the Black Lives of UU, or BLUE as their acronym, BLUE has asked, in the wake of this controversy, that all Unitarian Universalist communities participate in a faith-wide conversation, either today or next Sunday, which they've called the White Supremacy Teach-In. The goal of this faith-wide conversation is to help us disrupt business as usual and actively discuss the ways in which our faith holds up diversity and anti-oppression as worthy goals while still maintaining the societal practices that keep white supremacy alive. Now, I have to admit, when I first saw BLUE's call for this teach-in, I thought, oh, great. That's during my candidating week. Thanks a lot, BLUE. Way to make my job that much harder. But then I thought, hey, this is actually something I'm really passionate about. It's something I talk about regularly. Why shouldn't I talk about it with these people who might call me to be their senior minister? And like I said before, this isn't about me. My colleagues and friends of color have asked me to set aside my own personal desire and comfort to help further the cause of liberation. My momentary annoyance at the timing of this teach-in is a symptom of my privilege. As a white, straight, cisgender minister, I could have easily gotten away with not even talking about racism this week, whereas my colleagues of color, especially those who also have other marginalized identities, can never escape the reality that their lived experience is different from the majority of people in our UU communities. I also thought, hey, the fellowship is ready for this. Some of my friends who are also candidating this week, they're not sure if they can talk about this stuff yet with the communities that they're meeting. But I feel confident that because of the work that you began with Roger and have continued with Leah and Kathleen, that you can indeed handle this conversation about the ways in which we still have work to do to bring about the future we hope for in terms of dismantling white supremacy and creating anti-racist, multicultural communities of faith. When discussing white supremacy, we often think of Klansmen. So people have asked, why do we have to use that term? Why do we have to use such a provocative term? Well, the first answer to that question is because we've been asked to use that term, and it's not about us. The second answer is, according to BLUE's website, quote, "White supremacy is a set of institutional assumptions and practices, often operating unconsciously, that tend to benefit white people and exclude people of color. In 2017, actual white supremacists are not required in order to uphold white supremacist culture. Building a faith full of people who understand that key distinction is essential as we work toward a more just society in difficult political times. End quote. Once again, Blue says white supremacy is a set of institutional assumptions and practices, often operating unconsciously, that tend to benefit white people and exclude people of color. White supremacy is the very water of our culture. And we white folks, those of us who identify as white, we are the fish swimming in that water. We are unaware of it. Now, people of color, they are very aware, because they are often harmed in small ways and in catastrophic ones by living in a society that systematically erases their identity or forces them to conform to white norms in order to succeed. And the thing is, it harms white people too. Certainly not to the extent that it harms people of color, but to live in a white supremacist society where your experiences are so sheltered that we don't even have to consider the life experiences of others if we don't feel like it, where our lives are not enriched by difference, where we believe, however subtly, in our own superiority, our own supremacy, because the culture is constantly mirroring us back to ourselves. That's harmful. That's what we have to work to undo. So I return back to Brother Juniper and his church. There is no way to proclaim that Black Lives Matter, which you do out on the street, there is no way to proclaim that Black Lives Matter or to fight racism without actively dismantling a white supremacist society. It means we literally have to take apart the house in which we live our lives, which gives us shelter, because this house is not big enough for everyone. It might mean that we have to change the ways in which we regularly do business, or worship, or committee work. It might mean we have to alter our hiring practices to ensure that a diversity of candidates have a better chance of being hired. It might mean, when we talk about fit for a job, that we all have to change the culture in which we currently operate to fit the people we hope to welcome, not expect them to fit ours. Unitarian Universalists have, for generations now, tried to address issues of racism by adding things, adding new programs or education or styles of worship, adding to what we already have without really ever changing the underlying structures of our faith, which are, unfortunately, built on the foundations of whiteness. We have a tendency to want to change by adding, but never willing to really try losing anything. And as we've seen, transformation can never truly happen without loss. It's up to us to change the system. And it's not going to be comfortable for us, just like it wasn't for Brother Juniper's friends when they returned home to see the whole church destroyed. In my heart of hearts, I know that the only way to build the fellowship that we want, to build the Unitarian Universalist Association that we want, to build the world that we want, is to start by dismantling the one we've got right now. I have faith in you, Fox Valley UU Fellowship. I have faith that you are ready to continue this hard work that you have already begun. I'm excited to partner with you in this hard, good work. I hope you have faith in me. And in the end, it isn't about us anyway. May it be so. Amen.